Pick up with verse 23, and in hell of he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So twice in verse 23 and in verse 24, we see the word tormented. Hell is a awful place. Jesus is speaking here of hell. The rich man had everything he needed, everything he could ever want in life while he was in this world. But we see the tables turned when both of them passed and died. And this is talking about the soul. And you know, always remember, and I know we know that as children of God, but I always like to say things that trigger our mind. You know, we say things a lot of times that make us think, you know. And the soul will live forever and ever, eternity. The old soul within us is going to spend eternity somewhere. The soul of every mankind. Think about people that we know and people out in public that you see every day. The soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And that's really what this business is all about, that we're here this morning. Is about the soul of and the Savior came, that we may have eternal life, that our soul may spend eternal life with our Lord and Savior in a place of heaven. And the Bible talks of paradise in this passage of Scripture. But it also talks of a place called hell. We said last week that Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven in the Scriptures, that we all know. And it talks about a place of torment, talks about a place of flame. And it talks about, we see here that he's saying that just let him, that just dip the tip of his finger in water, because I'm tormented, and it may cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in this flame. And this is a reality. And you know, there's a lot of things that motivate us to, to reach the world for the lost, or make sure our loved ones know Christ. But really, when I think about hell, that's one of the motivating factors of why we should want to share Christ with the world. And of course, now it's down to nuts and bolts and rubber hits the road in society, so to speak, now, because I've never seen a day when the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is put under a bushel like it is today. And I mean, now we even hear in all this ISIS and Muhammad stuff and Muslim stuff, and I mean, we even passed a lot of other things we used to talk about. Now it is getting to be spiritual warfare. And it is getting to where the name of Jesus. You know, now, I just want to share my thoughts here on a couple things, if I can, will you? Now, when we come into church, and I hear us just lifting up the name of Jesus in the church house, do you realize what an awesome thing that is in the world we live in today? Because the world don't want to hear Jesus Christ. There's no, the world don't want to see Him praised. The world don't want to see Him lifted up. Society don't today. And if you listen there, the world is promoting anything but Jesus Christ, even in the religious realms. And it is a great privilege we have just to come to the house of God today and just lift up the name of Jesus and glorify Him. And remember, the Bible talks about the name of Jesus. Devils tremble at the name of Jesus. And when we look at that and we think about, we are in a spiritual battle like never before, and the name of Jesus needs to be lifted up like never before. Why? Because hell is a real place, and Satan is coming on with all his junk, trying to destroy souls and drag them off into place of hell and confuse. And that's why there's so many confusion and so many different religions and things like that. And we know what we have is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. But we don't want to be caught like the old frog in the water, just keep going asleep when all this around us is going on about against the things of the Lord. Why? Because people's souls are at stake for eternity. And it don't have to be that way, because Jesus came that souls may have eternal life. Amen. Eternal Amen. Life. And so we see how bad hell is, and sometimes we need to look at hell. And even today, the modern church don't like to talk about hell. Don't like to talk about an old cross with bloodshed, because that's considered negative. Well, I won't go there, and I talk about that many times because that is a fact. But look, hell is a real place. And short of having our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and all our sins under the blood of Jesus Christ, and by faith accepting Him and making Him Lord of our life, and by faith receiving Him, That's where a man's soul will spend eternity, forever and ever and ever. And so when we think about that, maybe that's a motivator for us sometimes to have more of an... See, we live in such a wild culture now, you don't even have to go religious with it. You just have to say, do you know Jesus Christ died for your sins? Is he your Lord and Savior? Where is your soul going to spend eternity? I mean, so we're there and we see, and Jesus shows here how what an awful place is. This rich man is saying, just dip the tip of his finger in there, because twice we see the word, I'm tormented in this flame forever and ever and ever. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. You can have all the things of the world. Here's another example of it. And it means nothing when we die. You know, though, U-Haul to the hearse thing. And we get so caught up in what we got and running to and fro about materialism in this world so much. And it don't matter at the end of the day, does it? And now he said, but I like what he says. And he said, Lazarus had evil things. And we'll see here in a minute. We'll get to passage here in a minute. But the Bible talks about, like, we are going to suffer persecution. We are going to have obstacles. We are going to have a hard time. They are things going to come up. That's why prosperity preaching is not the truth, because it ain't just we become a Christian and we float on a cloud and eat grapes and everything's just wonderful and run through the flowers playing butterflies. That is not salvation. That is not the picture Jesus said as a child of his would become. He said that we would have tribulation. The Apostle Paul talked about we being soldiers in the faith. Why? Because there's opposition coming. As a child of God, you will have opposition. Now, as a child of God, we have peace in our soul and our heart. But there is going to be opposition to things of this world and things. And he uses the word here, Lazarus, and likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now, he is comforted. That's a good word to put it, ain't it, the way he put it? He is comforted now, and you are tormented. Well, so we look and say, well, I show him having a rough time right now as a child of God. There's a comforting day coming. There's a better day coming. Because think about it. A lot of times when you get in a lap of luxury in this world, that's a void anyway. Because we see that from all the celebrities and people that have all the money in the world and things, and they wind up committing suicide and always looking at other things and never reach it there. So comfort. Bear in mind, I believe personally that mankind seeks one thing, and that's peace. I believe there's something within mankind. Now, we only know that true peace comes from Jesus Christ and a relationship and trusting in Him. Don't believe me? Go through a valley and we'll find out really, okay, where the peace comes from. But the world is seeking peace, but they're looking in the wrong places. Mankind is seeking peace and relaxation and whatever, and that's why there's a multitude of things that mankind uses that for. But now He is comforted and you are tormented, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf affixed, that so that which you would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. So he asked them here to send him to his father's house. He's got brothers, is what he's wanting here. That he may testify in them. Send Lazarus back, that he'll testify in them. Because he said, this is a place of, verse 28, we see it again, a place of torment. But he wanted some evangelism going on when he was there. And there'll be many in hell one day that'll believe and be wanting evangelism. Abraham said unto him, verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. What did the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is by, the Bible says, foolishness of the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to mankind. And you know, you ever thought about it? That's just the way the Lord set it up, that His word to be carried out in the way we all should proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he said, look, they got the prophets and things. They have them out there now. But he says in verse 30, he says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one of them went unto from them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And that's true, headed to the cross for you and I. But the reason, but they say, if you send somebody from dead, they will repent. We hear that now. I was talking to a fellow here a while back about salvation and knowing the Lord, and he don't know the Lord. And that's what thing he told me. He says, "What if the Lord just do, why don't he do miracles like he did in the Bible times? You know, more people would believe if he just do miracles like he did in Bible times." Well, you know, that's exactly right. But it's by faith we receive Jesus Christ now. And then I told him, I says, then if you really want to go dig it up. It's in history books. It's there. It's proof. There's the Bible says there's infallible proofs in the book of Acts. It talks about there was many infallible proofs of things he done. And it's in history. Sorry there. But it's by faith that we receive him as Lord and Savior. The Lord wants us to come to him by faith. Plus, Scripture contains everything we need for salvation. The Bible tells about salvation. Tells, you ever thought about it? From Genesis to Revelation, it talks about the start of mankind, how what God's plan was for mankind to begin with, how man disobeyed God, brought sin into the world. Then there's a thread that goes through the whole Word of God telling how you can be redeemed and how it's going to end up. We are not in the dark, folks, on what God has planned for us. And look, and the Bible also says that the natural man discerneth not the things of the Spirit. Got to understand that when we're talking to lost people. They won't understand things because that's why it always worries me when I hear a lot of Christian people. I had a grandmother that had a third grade education, quote the Bible front and back and left and right, and y'all seen them too like it and all that, and love the Lord and understand it perfectly fine. Then we've got people today with PhDs say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, first of all, the Spirit... Well, the Spirit has to discern God's Word is what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit is what teaches us God's Word and what shows us things of God's Word. And that may sound hocus pocus, but that's the power of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. I mean, and that's just not, I done seen it time and time and time again, how God's Word speaks to hearts and speaks to my heart, and I've seen it speak to other people's heart, and it's the power of the Word. So we have the Scripture. So the world today is saying the same thing. If God would just do this, if God would just do this. Now here's a man burning in hell. Look, do this, especially for my brothers. Jesus says, he's got prophets, and he's got the rest of them up there telling and preaching, and they must respond, because what Jesus is saying, by faith, it's not by sight. We don't come to faith by sight. We come by faith. And that's what a lost man has to understand. First of all, they must receive him by faith. You and I had to receive Jesus Christ by faith. The moment we receive him by faith with our heart, the Holy Spirit immediately, what? Whammo. He comes, sets up shop. He's in our heart right there immediately. When by faith, how does it happen? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. How 1 minute, you remember... Think about the time you got saved. We all have different experiences when we ask Christ to come in our heart and save us. We all have different times of that. And if you'll think of the moment that you, by faith, the Holy Spirit was drawing you to him, because we don't come to ourselves. He draws us to him. Holy Spirit lets us know, lost sinner, come to me, okay? And the moment we get down and by faith yield, well, we don't hear that word no more, do we? We yield to him, okay? The moment we yield to him, put our faith and trust in him, confess our sins, accept his shed blood on Calvary's cross, say, Lord, save me. I need you. I'm a lost sinner. Wham! What happened?
Change.
A miracle. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, because all things come to you. I can't explain it, but I know it's there, and it's a powerful transaction. And it's a miraculous transaction that takes place. Now, what started that whole thing? Faith. Putting your trust. That's what we mean when we say, put your trust in Jesus Christ. Because you have to put your trust in him. Now, by faith. So, he wanted to call back all these others. And he told them, he says, if he don't listen to them, if he don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will be persuaded though one rose through the dead. And we've seen. Then said he unto the disciples, Jesus talking directly to them now, it is impossible that but of that offenses will come, but woe unto him whom through whom they may come. Notice that exclamation point there. If it were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than he that should offend one of these little ones. He says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother's trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if you trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn against you, saying, I repent, ye shall forgive him. Now, in verse 1, he said, if anybody is impossible, but that he offenses that, but that offenses will come. They're going to come. You're going to have opposition as a child of God. Jesus says this many times. Okay? The prosperity, wonderful life preaching just went right out the window. Go sell you another million books and make everybody feel good. It ain't the word of God. Okay, now, I think I made that clear. But not by what I said, by what God said. Okay? Now, offenses are going to come. But look at what Jesus says when we have offenses that come. And by the way, most of the offenses are going to come from the religious world. And a lot of the offenses are going to come from within. But the religious world will eat you alive. And a lot of times, we have friendly fire on the inside too. Offenses come. But Jesus says, and this word, but woe unto him. Now woe is a very, very powerful statement the Lord has. When God says woe unto them, that's bad. You really fist to get something upon you. Through whom they come. Yeah, you're going to have offenses, but look at what Jesus, how he words it. It was better for a millstone to be hanged about his neck and he cast in the sea. It'd be better to have an old rock thrown around your neck and throw it in the sea than to have an offense against one of mine. That's what he's saying. Now, Jesus is talking about us here. And then he says, then he should offend one of these little ones. Not necessarily talking about children here. Young Christians. Jesus thinks that much of us and thinks that much of... Bear in mind, they had childlike faith at this time. Childlike faith. And I think that's a great passage of the love that Christ has for us. He says, woe unto them that through whom they come, that you're going to have all these offenses and come against you. It'd be better to go get in a rock and throw it around his neck and go drown himself.
Not a little rock,
maybe. Right, that's a big rock, drown yourself. Thank you. But and that he should offend one of these little ones. That he should offend one of these little ones. Look, the Lord knows we're going to go through battles. But he's on our side. And that's what this tells me. That's what it tells us this morning. We're going to have offenses. We're going to have attacks in all kind of ways. Okay? But the Lord is on our side. Now, at the end, shouldn't that be all that matters? Now, and I believe any time we go through offenses and for the cause of Christ, the Bible also tells there's rewards on the other side. And we don't really talk about that a lot, but there's rewards laid up for a child of God for going through times for the cause of Christ. But he says, look, you're going to have things come against you. And if we could get that this morning, I want us to understand that this morning more than ever. Because why? Why are you saying that? Why are you harping on that so much? Because there's talk today, and it's just rampant, and I know I ramped right back on it. Just because you come to Christ, it ain't wonderful life. It's a peaceful life. It's a powerful life. And you walk not alone. Because the presence of the Lord, we talk about nothing like having the presence of the Lord in your life. Okay? Nothing like it. That's what we seek, is the presence of God. But even with that presence of God, we have to go through a storm sometimes. Amen. You know how we make it through that storm with peace in the soul? The presence of God with us. And so we're going to have those things, but the Lord, you just remember the Lord said, woe unto them that causes offenses against you. Because he says, hey, it'd be better to go drown himself than to mess with me and mess with my little ones. And I just think the Lord, he's on our side. He just don't send us out. You know, when he sent it back to heaven, he told the disciples, he says, you go wait in Jerusalem over there. He says, because why? He said, because you ain't got what you got yet, but it's coming. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit within us. See, we don't fight spiritual battles with ball bats and fists balled up and things. We fight it with the power of the Holy Spirit that the Heavenly Father gives us. The power of the Spirit within us. It's a spiritual battle that we fight. It's not a fleshly battle that we fight. And boy, if we could get that a lot of times, ain't it? It's not fleshly, it's spiritual. It's spiritual warfare that we're in. But he loves us. And that's what I see in that picture there more than anything. That he loves us.